This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salat wa salam ala rasulillah. Wa ma'alimna ma yinfa'una wa anfa'na bima allamtana wa zidna ilman ya arhamar rahimin. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teach us what benefit us from what He taught us and increase us in knowledge. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all the brothers and sisters who are attending. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in their life inshaAllah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the people at the end of the gathering, they will be told, قُومُوا مَغْفُورًا لَكُمْ. Get up, all your sins are forgiven. Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. Inshallah ta'ala, we started this series about funerals last week. And we will continue, inshallah ta'ala, with Allah's permission, till we finish the book, inshallah. Like I mentioned before, this book will cover from the moment you get sick and the person is on his deathbed all the way till the dafn and the burial and everything. How to do it in the proper manner according to the kitab and sunnah. Unfortunately, ya akhwan, our funerals, most of the time, they are controlled or they are operated by our culture, not by our deen. A lot of times, the culture dominates over the deen. And like I mentioned last week, at the time of the funeral, I cannot advise you because you are very emotional, and I'm very emotional at that time. You can't talk to the person, he's grieving. So this is the best time to learn the proper etiquette of the burials and the janazah and the following of the janazah and all that stuff. This is the time to learn it. Otherwise, when the process is taking place, it will be very hard to advise anybody. So alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, we started last week with general information that death is definitely coming. And we explained that Allah told us in the Quran in many places, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every soul will taste death. إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. Ya Muhammad, you are going to die and everyone around you, every human being, every creature is going to die. So we finished that introduction last week, and today, inshallah ta'ala, the topic is Arrival of Death. Chapter 2, Arrival of Death. What should a dying person do? Whether it's me, or I am in the presence of a person who is dying. What should I do? It happens all the time. My aunt, my father, my mother, they're on their deathbed and the last moment, and you get this phone call, brother, what should I do? The doctor just said few hours, few days, right? We have that all the time. So what should we do? Or what should he do first or she do? And then we would discuss what should we do, the people around them. First, a dying person should have حسن الظن بالله. A dying person should have good thoughts and hopes with his Rabb, remembering his great generosity and looking forward for his blessing and forgiveness. Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَمُوتَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَّا وَهُوَ يُحْسِنُ الظَّنُّ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Jabir reported, and the hadith is in Muslim, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, none of you should die without having good expectations with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has good expectations. He has good assumptions about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is hoping that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him. And at the same time, the dying believer should be in a state of combined, he should have a combined feeling of fear that Allah might punish him and hope that Allah will forgive him. Fear and hope together. Okay? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one time, he visited a young man who was dying and he asked him, كيف نجدك? How do you feel? So the man said, Ya Rasulullah, I have hope in Allah and I fear my sins. So the man said, I have hope in Allah and I fear my sins. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, لا يجتمعان في قلب عبد في مثل هذا الموطن إلا أعطاه الله ما يرجو وأمنه مما يخاف. الله أكبر. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, those two qualities do not dwell together in a person's heart in this situation, يعني on deathbed. They do not dwell in a person's heart on his deathbed, but Allah will grant them what he's hoping for and he will protect him from what he's fearing. Subhanallah. So the person is hoping for the mercy of Allah and fearing his sins at that time. So they do not gather with somebody's heart at that time except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to him. So ya akhwan, the first thing is, if I am dying, if you feel that, you know, something is last moment, and by the way, this is subhanallah, this is a ni'mah. If someone knows that, you know, feels like he is about to be gone, finish, it's harder than the, it's easier than the maut al-faj'a, sudden death, right? So, and even the impact on the family is much less when you know that your father's in the hospital for 3 months or 3 weeks and they told you, you know, things are not working out, is different than you heard your father's dead right away, right? Its impact is different. Of course, the loss is the same, but the impact on the person is different. So the first feeling is we should have hope that Allah will forgive us, and at the same time I'm fearing that he might not. Al-raja wal-amal. Al-raja wal-khawf. Then the second point is loving to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Loving to meet Allah. As death approaches, a true believer will have a strong desire to meet his Lord. Shuraih bin Hani reported that Abu Huraira said, that Rasulullah said, من أحب لقاء الله أحب الله لقاءه ومن كره لقاء الله كره الله لقاءه. Whoever loves meeting Allah, Allah will love to meet him. And whoever hates meeting Allah, Allah will hate meeting him. So Shuraih, when he heard this hadith from Abu Huraira, he immediately ran to Aisha radiallahu anha. And he said, Ya Aisha, I heard something from Abu Huraira and it's very scary. She said, what did you hear? So, and he narrated the hadith. And he narrated the hadith. So she explained, Allah's Rasulullah has indeed said this. He was, first of all, he wants to check, is this for real? She told him, yes, this is true what Abu Huraira told you. The hadith is sahih. I heard it from Rasulullah. But does not mean what you think. Why Shuraih was afraid? Why Shuraih was afraid? The hadith said, if you love to meet Allah, Allah will love to meet you. And if you hate to meet Allah, Allah hates to meet you. And he was so scared that this hadith is true. Why he was so scared? Exactly. Because that means you hate death. It means if you hate death, Allah hates meeting you. So this is what he understood. So Aisha, our mother, the mother of fiqh, is explaining. She said, Rasulullah has indeed said that, but he did not mean what you think. He meant when the gaze becomes fixed and the chest rattles, the skin tightens and the fingers tremble, at that point, whoever loves to meet Allah, Allah loves to meet him. And whosoever hates to meet Allah, Allah hates to meet him. Previously, Aisha had a similar misunderstanding. When Rasulullah said the hadith, she had a similar misunderstanding. She went to Rasulullah and said, Ya Rasulullah, do you mean hating death? Because we all hate death. Aisha is telling Rasulullah, do you mean, when he said the hadith, whomsoever hate to meet Allah, Allah will hate to meet him. He said, Ya Rasulullah, do you mean hating death? Because we all hate death. So Rasulullah responded, لَيْسَ كَذَلِكَ لَكِنِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِذَا حَضَرَهُ الْوَفَاةِ بُشِّرَ بِرَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانَهُ وَكَرَامَتِهِ فَلَيْسَ شَيْءٌ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّا أَمَامَهُ فَأَحَبَّ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ وَأَحَبَّ اللَّهُ لِقَاءَهُ وَإِنَّ الْكَافِرَ إِذَا حُضِرَ بُشِّرَ بِعَذَابِ اللَّهِ وَسَخَطِهِ وَعُقُوبَتِهِ فَلَيْسَ شَيْءٌ أَكْرَهُ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّا أَمَامَهُ فَكَرِهَ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ وَكَرِهَ اللَّهُ لِقَاءَهُ. Rasulullah is explaining to Aisha the meaning of the hadith. He said, this is not what it means, Ya Aisha. This is not what it means that you hate death. No. When death comes to a believer, he's giving the glad tidings of Allah's mercy, of Allah's acceptance, and he's giving the glad tidings of Jannah. So nothing is dearer to him than meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah will love to meet him. And the kafir, at that moment, when the death comes, he's giving the tidings of Allah's anger, torture, and punishment. So nothing is more hateful to him than meeting Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hate to meet him. So this is the explanation of the hadith by the one who said the hadith himself, alayhi salatu wasalam. So ya akhwan, at that moment, subhanallah, if you notice those clips that we get every once in a while that somebody died while he's playing, while he's, one time a sheikh was giving a lecture, you see them looking up, as if they saw something. Subhanallah. This is the sign that, that's it, they're gone. They're about to, the soul is going to be taken. Subhanallah. So at that moment, or a little bit before that, if somebody is on his deathbed, and they feel that, the death is coming, and they start, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them. May Allah make us amongst them. Allah will bless them that they will start seeing the Jannah and they're seeing the Rahmah. And you see sometimes somebody, how many times you saw a Shaheed smiling, while he's dead already, the smile is up to here, subhanallah. Because they saw something that we do not see. And as we go through the book, you will be amazed about the stories of people who died and they saw their position in Jannah. So when you see your position in Jannah, and you can imagine, this is something you've never ever seen before, so you can't wait. You can't wait to go there and you can't wait to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Third, returning the people's rights. I found out I'm about to die. They told me you have cancer, you are stage 4, you're khalas, you have few months to live, few weeks to live. I start going and looking around who I owe money, I owe anything. I'm going to go and settle all my debts. A dying person should fulfill his obligations toward the people before death overtakes him. If he cannot fulfill it by himself, he should tell his family and make the arrangements to take care of his things before after his death. Abu Huraira reported that Rasulullah said, Subhanallah, من كانت عنده مظلمة لأخيه من عرضه أو ماله فليؤديها إليه قبل أن يأتي يوم القيامة لا يقبل فيه دينار ولا درهم إن كان له عمل صالح أخذ منه وأعطي صاحبه وإن لم يكن له عمل صالح أخذ من سيئات صاحبه فحملت عليه. سبحان الله. والله يا أخوان, this hadith is, I want you to open your ears and your heart and think about this hadith really seriously. Whoever has oppressed his brother, course, sisters included also. Whoever oppressed his fellow Muslim, let's say, in his reputation or his wealth, you spread rumors against him, you said things about him that's not true, you took money that does not belong to you, you told him, lend me this $1,000, and you had the mindset you're not even going to give it back. You had a preset mindset that you're not going to give it back. I'm not talking about somebody who was in need and he borrowed and he's intending to pay back. Because Rasulullah ﷺ told us, if you borrow money with the intention to pay it back and you were sincere, Allah will pay it back. Allah will make it easy for you to pay it back. So Rasulullah ﷺ said, if you have any mazlama from dhulm, if you have any kind of oppression, whether it's in reputation or wealth, against your brother, Allah ya akhwan, listen carefully. We are questioned about these classes. Let him remedy that before the day of judgment. Day of judgment, my day of judgment is when I die, right? This is my qiyamah. This is your qiyamah when you die. So he's not going to wait till the day of judgment. What he meant here is my day of judgment. Let him remedy that before the day of judgment comes. Because on that day, no dirham, no dinar, this currency will not work anymore. Like Allah said in the Quran, وَلَوْ أَنَّ if they have the kuffar, if they have the earth filled with gold to save them from that day, it will not avail, it will not work. The whole earth full of gold. Just, Ya Allah, save me from the punishment. وَمِثْلَهُ مَعَ And another size of the earth full of gold, it will not benefit. And subhanAllah, ya akhwan, think about it. On that day, the whole earth full of gold will not benefit me. And now, Rasulullah ﷺ, he said, donate half a date will save you from hell. Allahu Akbar. Half a date. Shuk tamra. Now, half a date will save me from hell. And on that day, earth full of gold. Can you imagine if just this masjid was full of gold, how much would that be? Billions and billions of dollars. Earth full of gold. That's why when we talk about sadaqah, and when we see the people asking for aitam and orphans, and we start complaining, wallahi, ya akhwan, do not complain. Wallahi, we're going to regret any opportunity we were given to give, and we said, you know what, it's okay, let me save it. My this, my that, my... Give, wallahi, give as much as you can. Any opportunity you have to give, give. You don't know which dollar is going to save you. So let them take care of it now before that day. There's no dirham, no dinar. Yeah, brother, I have $10 million. Take it. Allah, $10 million. What's going to do for me now? I need 5,000 hasana. I don't need your dirham. On that day, no more dinar, no dirham. It's hasanat and sayyat. Good deeds and bad deeds. No dirham or dinar will be accepted. If he has good deeds, they will be taken from him and given to his brother. And if he does not have any good deeds, he will be burdened with his brother's sins. Subhanallah. He will be burdened by his or her brother's sins. We see brothers sometimes, sisters also, mashallah, a lot of great deeds, a lot of fasting, a lot of salawat in the masajid, a lot of a'mal, Quran, huffaz, and then they sit down at a gathering after Isha or an invitation, someone's house, and one hasana by one hasana all gone, giving it free to others just because of the tongue. They sit down and they start bringing people, this did that, this did that, this got divorced, this got that, start making fun of this and making fun of that, all this siyam and salawat and hajj and umrah, yalla, giving it away. Wallahi, we work very hard, ya akhwan. We work very hard for these hasanat. So watch that tongue. أمسك عليك لسانك. عقبة بن عامر رضي الله عنه came to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم and he told him, Ya Rasulullah, give me the secret for salvation. He gave him three advices. One of them, control your tongue. أمسك عليك لسانك. Control that tongue. So I have to give the حقوق. Now sometimes it might feel heavy to go to my brother and tell him, I did this to you. I'm the one who sent that email. I'm the one who did that. Huh? So what do? I go and I give sadaqah on their behalf. I ask Allah to forgive them. I ask Allah to forgive me first for what I have done. And I do as much as I can. as much as I can on their behalf, hoping that Allah would accept. Because as we know, if I go to you and tell you, listen, I have spoken behind your back, it's very hard. You have to be really a true believer to accept it. Otherwise, it's really nobody accepts it. How dare you? And it's going to create more fitna and more problems. But if it's an issue of money, if it's an issue of money, I'm talking about the first example is you spread rumors. But if there is money and you have that money now and you know where that brother is, that you owe him that money from year, two, five, wallahi, find any way you can and get it to him. Because you might think he has forgotten. You might have think that he has forgiven you. But maybe he knows. And on that day, you cannot afford it. You can't. Give me 5,000 hasana for the $5,000. Here you go. You can't say, no, let's make a deal. No. No negotiation, no haggling. Second, the hadith Sheikh gave the next scary hadith, the hadith of the bankrupt that we all know. I'm going to go straight to English. Indeed, a ruined person of my ummah is the one who comes on the day of judgment with salat and siyam and zakat. However, he had abused so-and-so and defamed so-and-so and unlawfully consumed the wealth of so-and-so, shed the blood of so-and-so and beaten so-and-so. Thus, this and that will be given from him, from his good deeds. If his good deeds finish before fulfilling what he owes, he will be burdened with their sins. Then he will be thrown in hell. Listen, what did this man come with? Salat and siyam and qiyam. It's not like he does not pray, he does not fast. No, he came with salat and siyam and zakat. Zakat. He came with all that. And another hadith, Jabal Tihama, mountains of hasanat. Haba'an manthura. This is a very scary hadith, hadith al-muflis. It's called the hadith of the bankrupt. Let's take one more, inshallah, and I have a gift for you, inshallah. A dying person should make sure that his will is current. This is something that we all behind him. His will is current and to his liking. In addition, he should give final instructions to his family and friends and other people around him, reminding them of Allah and directing them to take care of fulfilling his obligations after his death. Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu reported that one of the on the eve of the battle of Uhud, his father summoned him and instructed him, "I expect to be among the first of the Prophet's companions to be killed tomorrow." Allahu Akbar. So Jabir, his father, is telling him, "I'm expecting tomorrow to be a shaheed in Uhud. So I'm not leaving after me any soul more dear to me than you." He's talking to his son. Except for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Can you imagine somebody's dying and he's giving wasiyah to his son and he remembered that he loves Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam more than his son? He said, I don't leave anyone dear to me more than you. And then he said, except Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allahu Akbar. So I owe some debts, so pay them off and take good care of your brothers and sisters. And there's a detailed discussion of this will coming up, inshallah. What to do for a dying person? Now we are standing in front of this brother at the hospital or at the home and he's about to die. What should we do? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he spoke about 3-4 pages, which is all, he gave all the hadith about the talqeen. It's called talqeen. Giving the luqma, the shahada to the person, it's called talqeen. لَقِّنُوا مَوْتَاكُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَمَنْ كَانَ آخِرُ كَلَامَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ عِنْدَ الْمَوْتِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. So this is, he mentioned 3-4 ahadith about the same exact thing. That the last, if you are present in at the time when someone is dying, لَقِّنُوا, tell them, prompt your dying person with La ilaha illallah. Like we said before, you do not shake him, you do not scream and yell, say La ilaha illallah, say La ilaha illallah. You do not know what that person is going through. You have no idea what's going through. So you tell them, قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Just like Rasulullah ﷺ told his uncle, remember? Tell them, say la ilaha illallah, I will have shafa'ah for you with Allah. Say la ilaha illallah, quietly. Don't scream and yell because you might see things that's scaring you. Say la ilaha illallah. قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ Or you by yourself and the group of brothers or whoever the family members at that time, you say, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ He's hearing it. He's hearing it. You never know, it could come to his... You don't have to see it yourself. Who matters? Allah. Allah matters if he's seen it or not, if he heard it or not. So just say it around him. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ is enough. If he can say Muhammad Rasulullah is good, but la ilaha illallah, the hadith said la ilaha illallah. Man kana akhir kalama, la ilaha illallah, dakhal al-jannah. Now, like we said before many times, it's very easy for us to say it now. But at that time, only the one whom Allah give him tawfiq will be able to say it. May Allah make all of us here, our last words, la ilaha illallah. Us and our wives and our children and our parents. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Make this dua from your heart on a daily basis. Allahumma ja'al akhir kalami la ilaha illallah. Allahumma ja'al akhir kalami la ilaha illallah. Say it from your heart and Allah will grant it to you inshallah. Now, like I promised before, I think we have enough inshallah, or maybe no. There's a dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whomsoever say this dua before he sleeps, before he dies on his deathbed, لا تمسه النار. The nar will not touch him. Hell will not touch him. But how can I remember it? You know that time, لا إله إلا الله by itself is hard to remember. It's hard to come out. How can I remember this long dua? It's not really long, but it's longer than usual. So how can I remember it? If I constantly say it all the time. Right? Like now, for example, I have a habit. If I lose something, I say, La ilaha illallah. Or I get lost GPS, I say, La ilaha illallah. So why don't I make my habit, instead of La ilaha illallah, make it this, which is, I'm going to tell you what it is. It's all about La ilaha illallah. So the hadith said, it's a long hadith, and at the end said, whoever is blessed with this, these words at the time of death, the fire will not touch him. There are five statements, and they all start with La ilaha illallah. So the first part of the dua, it's common to all of us. We all know it. And the second part is all common. It's just to remember to put them together. Ready? Okay. La ilaha illallah wallahu akbar. Repeat after me. La ilaha illallah wallahu akbar. La ilaha illallah wahda. لا إله إلا الله لا شريك له لا إله إلا الله له الملك وله الحمد لا إله إلا الله ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله Easy, right? Who's gonna repeat it? You know them all in order? David. There's no wahda in this one. La sharika la. This is previous memory, not now. Because I gave it to him a long time ago. طيب. So inshallah, Yahman, practice it, please. And keep saying it all the time. I asked FedEx to give me 100, so if anybody did not have, cannot get it, I can text it to you, inshallah. So brother, I ask Brother Abid, Brother Sayyid, Mahbub, and Yusuf, inshallah. Give it to the brother. Jazakumullah khair, Barakallah fikum. Do not leave without taking one, inshallah. And like I said, if you want me, I'm going to send it to Brother Bilal, who has most of your numbers. He'll send it to you, inshallah. And Jazakumullah khair, Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.